Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
Now, Melissa's a little perplexed because she knows that I am a diehard Yankee fan. By the way, the Yankees are playing a doubleheader today. First game gets off at around 2:35 with the pregame. First pitch right at 3:05, and then they'll play the second game tonight, 6:25 pregame. First pitch right after 7 o'clock as the Yankees were rained out last night in the Bronx, so they'll make that up today as a day-night doubleheader. She's kind of perplexed. She knows I'm a diehard Yankee fan, but she wonders because more days than not, I come into work and I might be wearing a Dodgers t-shirt, or I might be wearing a Chicago White Sox t-shirt, or I might be wearing an Oakland Athletics t-shirt with a New York Yankee cap. I might add.
It's today you're wearing Cleveland.
Yes.
I guess the hardest thing, Tony, was the day that you walked in. First of all, I will never understand this. I don't know how you can be a diehard fan, and no offense to the Boston fans out there. My husband's a Boston Red Sox fan, so I'm not offended by any means. But how you can wear a Red Sox shirt? First of all, that you bought a Red Sox shirt, that should be sacrilegious. And then you wear a Yankee hat. I don't get it. You come in and okay, I get that you love baseball, but how can you actually be a diehard Yankee fan if you're spending money that could go to an Aaron Judge shirt, or it could go to a Didi Gregorius shirt or something else, or Gary Sanchez, if you're going to spend it on shirts that are totally different teams? I don't get that.
I have all three, Gregorius, Judge, and Sanchez, in my collection.
Well,
and I do have four Red Sox t-shirts in my collection.
Why?
One is a Ted Williams shirt, because you have to respect
Ted Williams.
Splendid Splinter. You have to respect him. But I'm a baseball fanatic. I love baseball. I love the history of the teams. I love this. I love to read up on the stadiums and the players, past and present. But a lot of people are perplexed by that. I get looks no matter where I go. We go into the grocery store to do grocery shopping, and might be wearing an Arizona Diamondbacks t-shirt, and a woman will say to me, "Are you from Arizona?" No, ma'am. I live right across the street. Well, why? Why are you wearing an Arizona Diamondbacks t-shirt?
Thank you, ma'am. And I agree.
I try to explain, but they don't get it. But I tell you what we'll do. Let's take a picture of me with my Cleveland shirt on, with my Yankee cap on, and ask the question, is this normal?
First of all, it's not normal. And if anybody says it is normal, God bless you. You just are Tony fans. That's how I feel about it. But it's odd, Tone. I mean, I think it definitely speaks to your character that you like to maybe push the button a little bit and certainly make people come up to you and ask questions. So I'll applaud you for that. But I think it's weird. You could not pay me to wear Red Sox gear, Mets gear, any other team gear. I don't get it. It'd be different if maybe you did like a fantasy thing, like a fantasy baseball thing. Like, I know for football, we have different players from our fantasy teams that we'll get jerseys of, but I won't wear, you know, a Patriots jersey because I love football, or I won't wear a Seattle Seahawks shirt because I love football. I really don't get it. I love you. I love you to pieces, but I do not get it.
Melissa, I have many fantasies, and not one of them involves sports.
Well,
I've got to tell you that. So there you
go.
Well,
we want to know from you. Do you think it's weird that Tony mixes and matches all his different teams if he's a diehard Yankee fan, or is it completely normal that he's just not normal? So we're going to post that picture on Facebook, and we'll be checking in all throughout the morning. We'll read your comments on the air live at 8:30 this morning, and I'm excited to see what people have to say, Tony, because I think it's a little wackadoodle, if you ask me.
All right. Melissa thinks that I'm whacked because every day I come in with a different team on my shirt, but I always wear my Yankee hat at all times. She says it's a little whack. I say it's, I don't know, maybe a little eccentric. We wanted to know what you thought, how you felt about it. Now, we put a picture of me on there with my Cleveland Indian shirt and my Yankee hat on, and we wanted to know what you thought, and we did get a few comments.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you want me to read the first one? Or you
I think you should. Go for it.
All right, Mike Sullivan, who says, I am a Yankee fan, but I've been to several games in Cleveland as I have family in that area, so I have become a fan of the Indians as well. I like that he wears two different teams' stuff, but the Red Sox, that's where I draw the line.
Thank you, Mike Sullivan. That's what I thought was weird, too. It didn't really bother me until I saw the two teams together.
And you know, Mike, if you're listening, I became a Cleveland Indian fan, too, because the very first game that my father took me to, was around, I don't know, 1971 or 72. We went down to Yankee Stadium, and they were taking on the Cleveland Indians. I saw Bobby Mercer, Thurman Munson, Ron Bloomberg. I saw them all. It was a lousy team in those days. But nonetheless, that always stuck with me for some reason. I went to that game. My father bought me all the pennants, and I still them someplace of every single team, even the Seattle Pilots, who are no longer there.
Yeah, so. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Well, Lucille Esposito Rumo says, I hope I'm saying that, Rumo, you can tell me on Facebook, Lucille, but she says, I think it's fine. Your heart is still with the Yankees. That's what my mom said, Lucille.
Yeah.
And I mean,
see, Lucille?
It's weird.
See? Lucille, you and Claudia, great women, think alike.
There you go.
Very good. Christopher Gow, I think I'm saying that right. Gow?
Goff?
Goff?
Well, you could tell us too, Christopher, for saying your name wrong.
Okay.
Sorry.
Where I share Tony's passion for baseball, and like him, I want to visit every stadium, but I don't think I could wear my rival's T-shirt. I am a Mets fan and would never, never, ever wear a Philly or Nationals or even a Yankees shirt. Funny you should say, Christopher, tomorrow I'm wearing the Phillies.
Yeah, see, Christopher gets it. It's kind of odd. I mean, I think as you were explaining it, I do agree with you and Christopher. I think it's cool to see all the stadiums. I would love to do that with Chase, like take him if you're a baseball fanatic, but I don't think I'm going to buy him any of the jerseys. I'm sorry, I'm not doing that. Irene says, I'm with Melissa. You need to be loyal to your team only. Conflabbit, you're right, Irene.
All right, Irene.
Come on, very good. Irene, even though
right.
It's Eileen, but that's fine.
All right. Carl P. Della Rocca. Rocco. Let's try that again. Carl P. Della Rocco. Having a diverse audience is the only proper way to respect other people's teams. Exactly, Carl.
That's fair.
That's what I was going for.
that's what you were going for.
That's what I was going
Carl
for.
Carl gives you way too much credit.
Carl, give me a call. We want to hire you for public relations. There you go.
I love it.
All right.
And this was probably my favorite. I have to be honest. This was such a great comment. Alec Vacola. I think that's how you say it, said, not odd when you consider he goes to bed for the night at 3 p.m. and barely leaves Fairfield County.
See, I have shared way too much information with you people.
Oh, no. I love it.
Very funny, Alec. You know me pretty well, that's for sure. All right, so there you go. Any more comments? That's all we have now?
I mean, we had some on Instagram, and we had a couple of private messages, and it was just sort of either yes or no kind of thing.
Okay.
So it seemed like it was sort of up the middle. I think people can understand it, and they're not going to stop listening to you, Tony, but I do think there are enough people who think it's odd. It's not, you don't see it every day.
You know, we've got a sales person that works here, okay? And she has a son, and I don't know, he's about 8 or 9 years old, I guess. He's obsessed with Canada. They live right around here, whatever it is, Milford or Stratford or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've ever been to Canada, but he's obsessed with Canada and obsessed with the Toronto Blue Jays. That's what he wears. He wears the Blue Jays insignia.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Are they any other, like, are they a Met or a Yankee fan? I don't even know who you're talking about. So are they any fan?
I don't know what they are a fan of, but she was telling me, she says, I'm a little concerned. He loves the Toronto Blue Jays. I said, there are worse things in the world.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, no question. That's funny.
And now, a few minutes with U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal on WICC 600.
Hey, let's take a moment and speak with U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal. How are you this morning, sir?
I am well. Hope you and your listeners are, too.
All right. So glad to have you here this morning. Let's talk a little bit about the 9/11 Compensation Fund. Now, we understand you were in West Haven this week demanding lawmakers to pass the fund. What's the latest on that? Let us in on that.
I demanded that Senator Mitch McConnell put that bill on the floor for a vote, and he should do it literally today or early next week. We tried to do it by unanimous consent, which means it would have been no votes against it, unanimous, but one or more of my Republican colleagues objected to it. Senator Rand Paul came to the floor of the Senate and objected to unanimous consent. So we need a vote by the full Senate in the regular order, and I'm going to keep pressing for this simple justice. It's the least we can do for these heroes. And to my Senate colleagues who say, oh, gee, we can't afford the money to pay for the illnesses that these 9/11 responders contracted as a result of going to the pile or ground zero, as it was called, I say we can't afford not to, as a matter of simple morality.
Now, but I was under the impression when John Stewart took a stand recently that it ended with a victory. What needs to be done to push this through?
It ended with a victory in the House as a result of John Stewart's powerful eloquence. And don't forget Lou Alvarez, who was a city detective, New York City detective, who tragically passed away a mere days later. The House of Representatives passed it. Now the Senate has to do so. That's why I'm pressing the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to give it a vote. It is a matter of simple justice for these 9/11 responders, whether it's fire service or police or other emergency responders, to be given the compensation for illnesses like cancer, heart and lung and kidney disease, all kinds of other ailments that are manifesting now because that's the way these diseases work.
And, Senator, my understanding is we have a number of people just here in Connecticut who rely very much on that compensation fund.
We have at least 336, probably hundreds more, who are affected because, of course, many of our firefighters and others went to the pile to try to help to rescue their brothers and sisters in the fire service to help others who might be impacted. They were exposed to the toxins and poisons of chemicals in that pile from the debris. And, of course, they answered the call without asking anything in return. In fact, without asking what the dangers might be. So there are hundreds in Connecticut affected.
Absolutely. And Senator Richard Blumenthal, who's spending a couple minutes with us this Thursday morning, something else that we just noticed came up across our news feed this morning, actually two different things, but sort of similar. We're hearing that the U.S. is now deploying, I think, 500 troops to Saudi Arabia, and then we're also deploying more troops to the border. Is this just going to keep happening? I feel like we are continuously seeing more troops sent out, more troops. But I thought we were going to bring more home.
All of us are in favor of bringing troops home. We need to meet our security needs abroad and at home as well, of course. We need to be strong in both foreign and domestic situations, but military troops at the border will solve nothing. It's a humanitarian crisis. We need more resources to make sure that children there have the hygienic and toothbrush and other kinds of essentials they need, which they have not received. That they end the family separation program at the border, tearing children away from their parents. And, of course, so far as abroad is concerned, sending more troops to Saudi Arabia may just entangle us more deeply in a situation that has to be solved diplomatically.
We are speaking with U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal. Sir, it was 50 years ago today that Apollo 11 launched. What are your memories of that?
I remember watching as the astronauts left the Earth, feeling a sense of adventure and wonder, and then when they circled the moon and finally landed on it, it was a moment of tremendous pride and excitement. I remember those words, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. I'm probably bungling the exact words.
We knew what you meant.
You know, it was just a moment of tremendous pride and excitement to be an American. And to think of them all the way up there on the moon and then to walk into the night and look up and see the moon and know that's where they were.
Yeah, and to bring them back. Again, bring them home safely. I know myself, I'm afraid to get in the car and go to Dunkin' Donuts to get coffee, let alone go to the moon. Senator Blumenthal.
I know for myself, there are some people in my family who are afraid to get in the car with me to go to Dunkin' Donuts.
but all right.
It was a great moment. Thank you for having me.
Anytime. We'll talk to you next week.
Great. Thank you.
You got it.
You know what time it is? It's time for the Coffee Break Chat on WICC.
All right, Luke Frey is here. He is with the Better Business Bureau this morning, and we meet with him a couple of times a month. Luke, how you doing, my friend?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing just fine. So glad you are here. This week marked Amazon Prime Day, millions of people shopping online. I would imagine, Luke, that there's a scam in there someplace, right?
Yes, yeah. So the scheme that we have to keep in mind whenever there's these huge online ordering holidays, I know I've been actually ordering some Christmas in July sale items. I know a lot of people are like, I can't order Christmas right now, but it is a great deal sometimes. But anyway, you know, what you have to keep in mind are these fake package scams. And they can happen a couple ways. One is either receiving a call or an email claiming to be from that FedEx, UPS, saying they couldn't drop a package off of your home, and then end up asking you for either a credit card to be able to hold it, or asking you to verify some personal details. The other way is if you did participate in, let's say, Amazon Prime Day or shop from an online retailer, you could also get an email actually that looks like it's coming from that retailer saying that you have to track your package or something along those lines. You click on a link and then it's asking you to log into that site. So say your Amazon account or whatever site you used, and then your account is compromised because that email is not from the actual online retailer.
So how do they know if you're with Amazon? Is it because they got some way of tracking Amazon customers or something? I mean, how do they know?
Sure. So I would say that even if you didn't order something from Amazon, you could still get this scam email. So not every person ordered off of that Amazon Prime Day. However, scammers take advantage of knowing that millions and millions of people have. So they send out and blast that email out to a ton of people, regardless if you ordered or not, and kind of take that risk or chance.
Now, is this all pretty common? Never mind Amazon Prime Day, but is this pretty common throughout the year?
I would say fraudulent emails / fraudulent sites are a scam we see a lot throughout the entire year. I talk a lot about it whenever I'm on the subject of fake social ads online. So if you're on social media and you see a bunch of ads, say you have a pair of shoes, you want to order, you've been shopping around online, and obviously it's popping up every place you go, and you see a great price, you click on it, and it takes you to a site that may look like the actual brand site. However, it's not. So you really have to be careful about, you know, what email is emailing you. It could say it's from Amazon. However, the email address could be Amazon, you know, 205@gmail.com. So you really have to be careful. Also, as far as sites go, you know, really looking at that domain, www. and then that site.com, not a ton of crazy characters, even if that site could look completely legitimate.
Luke Frey, who's with the Better Business Bureau. Luke, have you heard about any situations so far where people have been scammed specifically with Amazon Prime that's happened this week?
So I have not heard yet this week yet about any person in Connecticut. However, it's always great to really get that info out so that in case it will happen to a person here, and if they hear it, they're tuning in. If you hear about a scam, you are most likely to not fall for it. So that's really my primary job, is to really get that word out and educate people about scams that we know are probably going to be popping up here and there, so that people hear about it and then hopefully don't fall for it.
Yeah, but you know, a lot of people, they don't know, they're not keeping track, and they're not organized. And when somebody calls you and they're scamming you about something that you bought on Amazon, it's quite possible that some people, they scratch their heads and they go, did I order something? I don't remember what. I'll just pay it anyway to see what, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that happens a lot.
Exactly.
We got a phone call the other day from somebody saying that I was way behind on my college loan.
And
and if you want to fix this up, you better call us right now. Have your credit card ready and all of that. I mean, it's ridiculous, you know.
And it all goes back to urgency. Like you said, they called you and you had to do it now.
Right.
And then back to those packages, too. I mean, they take advantage of the fact that a lot of people order online. And even if they don't, in other scams throughout the country, we've seen where if they do call you and you tell them, oh, I didn't order a package. Oh, well, a person mailed it to you. It's a gift. You didn't know it was coming. However, you know, the postage isn't enough, or you have to pay, or, hey, can you give us a credit card to hold it here at the UPS store until you pick it up? And all of those mail carriers will always email you first or leave a tag on your door. So it's not going to be some sort of cold call that comes through from UPS saying, hey, I didn't drop off a package. So always look for that door tag or possibly an email from those places.
And Luke, I have to imagine you've heard of this happening before, because you mentioned how they'll say, oh, no, no, you ordered this, or this came as a gift. We ordered something a couple months ago and something else had actually come in the mail that we did not order, but I guess was kind of a, they said, a tag along with what you just ordered. And so I put it back in the mail because I didn't want it, and I sent it back. And about a couple weeks later, they said, oh, okay, well, we'll stop sending these to you, but because you ordered that first thing, we're only going to charge you this. Like, almost like, here's a cop out. We'll only charge you $99 or something. And I thought, you're not getting any of my money.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I mean, and it all goes back to those free trial offers or those add-on free gifts that you agree to. Sometimes with an online purchase, you really have to read and see, you know, is it a free gift now and then I'll be charged if I keep getting a shipment? Again, it is a tricky world on the World Wide Web that we have, that you really have to, you know, pay attention of what is coming to your door. Do you have any packages coming? And cold calls to huge red flag. Nobody should really be cold calling you about a package or about loans nowadays.
Hey, so. Luke Frey, unfortunately, we have run out of time, but you are very, very helpful with this information. And when do we talk to you again? Next week or the week after?
Week after.
Week after.
Yeah, week after.
All right. Luke, thank you so very, very much for taking the time.
All right. Yep. Have a great rest of your morning, guys.
And while you're there, if anybody wants more information, is there a website they can go to?
Yes, absolutely. They can go to bbb.org/CT.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you so much. Luke Frey from the Better Business Bureau. Who's the stricter parent in your house? And I know your kid is only a year old as of yesterday, so he probably doesn't cause too much trouble around the house yet. But
right.
but who do you think would be the stricter parent?
I think naturally it would probably be my husband, but I honestly think it depends on the situation, if I'm being fair. There are some things, like the other day, Derek couldn't believe I put him in timeout, but he wasn't listening to me, so Chase had his first timeout.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I put Chase in his first timeout last week.
Did he understand what the timeout was?
He did.
Did he?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, because he knew I said no, and I told him, if I have to say no one more time, you're going in timeout, and what timeout was not like sitting in the corner, because you can't make a one-year-old do that, but I shut his baby gate, which cuts off the bedrooms to the kitchen and living room area, so he was behind the gate where the bedrooms are, and I kept doing my work in the kitchen, and I put him in timeout and ignored him for 5 minutes.
Did he take it like a man, or was he upset?
No, he cried, he banged on the the fence, and Trusty sat there and started crying, like the dog starts kind of whimpering, like, why are you doing this to the human baby? And
it was a whole emotional thing. And if I know you, you were probably like, you know, cringing and like, oh my God, what do I do?
I sat in the kitchen feeling horrible. That's why I couldn't look at him. I felt horrible. And then my husband walks in from mowing the lawn and he's like, what in the heck is going on? And I'm like, he didn't listen. He purposely did this. He looked right at me, smiled, and pulled this off the counter when I told him not to do it. And I said, if you do this again, you're going in timeout. And he knew, and he did it again. So, yeah, I think I would think naturally my husband is the more, just from being together, he is naturally more disciplinary, but I definitely have my wicked side, I would say.
Okay. Now, when my kids were growing up, and I'm not just saying this. This was true. My kids were always very quiet, and they were always like, just did their own thing. And if my wife said, okay, time to go to bed, they got up and they went to bed. If my wife said, clean up your toys, they cleaned up their toys. Mm-hmm. It was like miraculous. It really, really was.
That's really, yeah, your kids, you know, I mean, I met them, they're my age, but they are very mellow.
I don't take credit for any of that. I blew my top one time, and I punished our youngest son. I took away the car probably longer than what I should have. I took away the car, I think it was like 2 months. And finally, my wife was like, when are you going to give it back to him? And I was like, I don't know. I haven't decided.
I'm not sure.
And she was like, let's give it back to him. I think he learned his lesson, you know. And all right. But I mean, like, for the most part, she was more or less the disciplinarian for the few times that she might have had to discipline them. But I've got to be honest with you, I don't remember one time where my wife lost it or I lost it or whatever the case was. I know when I was growing up, my mom was the disciplinarian.
Same.
You know, my dad was, my dad, you could count on your hands the times that you really saw him angry.
Yeah.
You know, and as a child, I learned at a very early age, he would get a certain look in his eye
mm-hmm.
where you knew you had pushed it far enough. And if you didn't stop, there was going to be a real problem.
Yeah.
But I remember, you know, answering back or whatever you want to call it, and him saying, go up to your room. And I'd go up to my room, and like, you know, 5 minutes later, he'd send my sister up and say, Daddy says you could come downstairs. I mean, it was like one of those deals,
mm-hmm.
you know. But,
yeah.
but I guess usually the mom is the disciplinarian, I guess.
Sometimes. I mean, I think it totally depends. See, in my husband's family, his mother was very, very kind, very, you know, the children, and his dad was very, like, crack the whip sort
yeah.
of thing. Yeah, so
okay.
I think it totally depends on, I don't know if it's a culture thing. Like, I know for us, I come from a very strong line of Italian women who, you know, they have very high expectations, and, you know, they judge your boyfriends, and they judge your cooking, and all that stuff. I mean, they love their kids, and my mom is obsessed with her children and dotes over us, but she certainly was the one who cracked the whip in our house. My dad, I think to this day, still has not yelled at me, I would say. He certainly has made his little backhanded comments, but mm-hmm. he doesn't discipline us.
Well moms, according to this anyway, this material, moms are stricter about homework, going to bed on time, watching TV, playing video games, cleaning their plate, eating junk food, drinking soda, trying new foods, eating vegetables, and throwing a ball around in the house.
So there's manners and health.
Well, yes.
Sounds about right.
Pretty much. Dads are slightly more likely to be strict when it comes to bad behavior and punishments.
Yes.
Okay.
I would agree with that. I think that's pretty...
Well, I remember being in the back seat of the car, and you're going to somebody's house, an uncle's house for dinner, or my grandmother's, or whatever, and my father would... We'd be in the back seat. My father would just turn around, and he'd go like this. Before we go inside, one word. Behave. Oh, okay, Dad.
Okay, Dad.
and whatever.
Yeah.
All hell broke loose anyway. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter. So
it's so true. No, whenever we went anywhere, I mean, you've got five kids piled in the back, and my mom she still makes that effort. We were just out to dinner for Chase's birthday yesterday, and, you know, and it's like, can you all stay off your phones? And she has to, like, organize where we all sit. Can you sit here, Melissa? You'll sit next to your husband. You know what? Nicholas, will you sit across from this one? Will you sit over here? This one, put Dad over here. Oh, yeah, it's, you know, there are always rules wherever you go.
That's how you inherited being a control freak.
What?
I see.
I'm not a control freak.
It's all Claudia. I understand.